Welcome to Living Life on Purpose on the Living Well Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Suzanne Streisauer, and I'm a holistic life and career coach. And I've spent decades expanding my own consciousness, and I've found lots of resources for the body, mind, and spirit that I think you're going to love. On Living Life on Purpose, I'm going to be introducing you to many authors and experts on a wide variety of topics, including sustainability, spirituality, optimal health and well-being, and inspirational authors, musicians, and entertainers are going to give you new insights and possibilities to enhance and enrich your life. Be inspired for life and join me today on Living Life on Purpose.
Well, welcome to Living Life on Purpose today. I am thrilled to have you all with me, and I want to put a shout out to a wonderful, loyal listener, Deanna, who's with us today. And also just to let everybody know that I'm acutely aware of the earthquake that rocked Nepal and all of the things that have happened with the people in that country and Mount Everest, as well as the earthquake in Chile. And one of the things that's really interesting is that, talk about synchronicities, I'm reading a book right now by Martin Prechtel, and he's talking about the 1976 Guatemalan earthquake and what is going on in Guatemala and how he's helping the people. And it's remarkable how similar those things are, what he's talking about in that remote part of the world and then what's happening in Nepal right now. So I just am acutely aware of that. And I'm just, if you'll just send your thoughts and prayers energetically, that would also be great to the parts of the world that are being impacted by nature right now. And what's really great is that my first guest today is going to actually be talking with us, and we're going to get in depth because she's an intuitive and she works with animals. And one of the other things that's also been interesting is that, and you've heard me talk about this if you've listened to the show at all, that I live in wild nature on 30 acres in the middle of nowhere. And what that means, being in wild nature, is that there are times where there are animals, bears and mountain lions and rattlesnakes and coyotes and wolves and all sorts of different natural predators and animals that live and kind of cohabitate where I do. And so last night, which is the first time in 5 years, I'm not quite sure about these cycles of how things happen, but the mountain lion came and decimated my animals again. And so killed 2 sheep, they're gone. Killed another goat, it's gone. And then killed and left a mama goat and 2 of her babies. And they're just dead. And the thing that's really interesting about when the mountain lion does that is that, in my understanding, when an animal kills, it's only for food. However, what I've also learned from when this happened before is that animals, the mountain lion comes and she actually is teaching her cubs to hunt. So it's an unfortunate set of circumstances when that happens, and yet it's part of that cycle of life. And I think in some ways part of what's happened in Nepal and Chile and Guatemala, it's like these things happen. So my first guest is going to be talking with us about being an intuitive and an animal communicator, as well as many other interesting ways that she communicates with the other side. And so before we jump right into that, I want to tell you a little bit more about my sponsors. And one of them is the Podcasting by Professionals group. And that's a great bunch of people. If you're interested in learning how to podcast, they will help you. There's an online course that's been designed to help you do that, and that's Podcasting by Professionals. And if you're interested in working with me as a coach and a spiritual life coach, finding your life purpose, getting yourself back on track, you can also reach out to me at SuzanneStreisauer.com, and I will help you, if I can, get you moving in a positive direction that kind of makes sense for where you're going. So with that, I just want to kind of jump into the show today and introduce you to another Californian, and her name is Dr. Lori Moore, and she's a marriage family therapist, licensed MFT, and a clinical hypnotherapist. She's a PhD who's written 10 books about animal communication, spiritual evolution, multidimensional communication, and personal manifestation, all topics near and dear to my heart. She's appeared on CBS Radio, Seeing Beyond, Beyond the Ordinary, CNN.com, Fox News, NBC, and the Company of Angels. She's been at Esalen,
other sorts of places, been on the Starseed Hotline and Buddha at the Gas Pump. And she also offers some free mini readings, both either for animal or human, and those are 15 minutes. And she's willing to give that to the first 10 people to sign up who are listening today. And we might actually do one of those live readings online, on air today with Deanna, who I know could actually use something like that. And her website is annamiracles.com. And I will be putting all this stuff on the Living Well Talk Radio Network Facebook page. So if there's anything that you've heard on the show today that you want more information about, you can certainly find out more on the Living Well Talk Radio Network Facebook page. So welcome to the show today, Lori.
Thank you. It is a delight to be here. I'm very sad about what happened with your animals, and I am grateful to be here and hope to be able to talk with you about that.
We definitely will. So before we get started and just jump into that at that level, what I want, Lori, is I always want people to kind of give my audience the backstory. So tell us a little bit about how you wound up becoming an animal communicator and working with spiritual evolution and multidimensional communication. How did that sort of happen for you in your life?
As a child, I was a multidimensional spirit, but I did not think in those terms because we are who we are, and we assume everyone is the same as us. And I also grew up in a very wonderful part of the world, Washington, D.C., where people were very liberal and positive and intelligent. And the kind of language that is used to describe spiritual evolution, intuitives, et cetera, wasn't anything I was being familiar with then, and until I came out. And I know things have changed back in that part of the world now, but until I came out west, I wasn't really anywhere where that kind of aspect of ourself was being talked about by anyone. So when, many years later, when I turned 40, my cat reincarnated, and he left this plane after a coyote took his body. And he got messages to me that he would be returning, and he got those messages to me not only through me but through other animal communicators. I wasn't an animal. I didn't consider myself an animal communicator at the time, and I definitely wasn't a professional one at the time. A psychic showed up at a seminar I was teaching, and she called me aside, and she said, "Your cat has asked me to come talk to you," and things like that were occurring. So to make a long story short, my cat, 5 weeks later, came back through another body. He stared into my eyes for about an hour and took me into timeless spacelessness. I could also call that oneness, where there's just no separation or no barrier between me or anyone. There just is all love, and we're all part of it. And he made it crystal clear to me that it was him. He walked through the house with me after the hour of meditation, and he started doing all his little funny quirks, like if I would scratch his neck, he would give me a little scratch, and he tried to unpull the computer plug, which in his previous bigger body he could do, to tell me don't overwork. And we went in the kitchen, and I gave him some food, and if I didn't give him the right food choice, he'd give me a tiny, tiny little nip on my ankle, which he did. The next day, people came over, and they could recognize it was Jesse. He made it crystal clear. And I was so deeply moved and touched that I knew I had to share with other people. I had to share the oneness. I had to share the love. I had to share the communication of the animals. So there happened to be a seminar in my house just a day or two after all this occurred. And I decided to share the story of what just happened, which was very different for me because at that time I was known as a psychotherapist. I was already writing books about that and getting on big news shows and on the mainstream. And I thought, you know, people are going to think I'm insane, but I just in my heart felt I had to share what had happened. And instead of people thinking I was insane, the room was filled with tears and laughter and just a deep recognition of the truth of all this, and people started to share their own stories. And from that day forward, everything began to unfold. The experiences of awakening and oneness kept coming and coming, the beautiful opportunities to go teach all over the world and all over Hawaii kept coming to me, and I just followed my heart, and here we are talking about it.
I love that story, and, you know, it's... There's so many parallels in that, Lori. I know that I grew up as a multidimensional being, and I knew that. I knew that I was light, and I just thought everybody else knew that about themselves too. And yet they couldn't play with me in that world. I mean, literally play as a child. They couldn't go there with me. And I just looked at them like, how can that be? You know, it's like it's crystal clear to me. How come it isn't for you? And so it's always nice to have a kindred spirit on air with me. And the other thing that's really interesting about what you've just said is that I had a beloved dog who, you know, it's going to sound like I've had animal tragedies, but I've had animals my whole life. So every now and then you do have to have a tragedy of one sort. And so I had took all my dogs and one cat. I took 7 dogs and a cat with me in a motorhome across the country. And we came back unscathed until the last day. And on the last day, a big snowstorm. Well, my dog wanted to go out. I let her out. My little ones went, followed her, and she was hit by a Caltrans truck. I had her on a leash, and she was hit. Thank God she was behind me, so I didn't see it, but not a scratch on her, but she left her body. And then I told her, I said, well, I want you to come back and be with me again. That your life ended way too soon. I want you to come back and be with me. And sure enough, she did, like 8 months later, through her daughter, she came back, and she had all of her same mannerisms and everything else. And so, you know, I said, but when you come back, just like you said about your cat and Jesse, I said, you have to kind of have the mannerisms so I know it's you. And she did. So I love stories like that.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you for sharing that. It's great to share in this way.
Yeah, so that was like the first part of that. So what got you into writing, Lori? What made you decide? I mean, 10 books. I've written 3 books. That was a lot. What made you decide you really wanted to write all these things down?
Well, when I was 7, I said, I'm writing a book. So I wrote my first novel. Now, if you see it, it's very cute, and there's probably 10 words on every page. But it was just an act of love, and I always wrote. I wrote poetry. I wrote guitar songs. I wrote stories. I started winning contests in high school. It's just what I love to do. I do it only because I love to do it. I really have no other ambition with it. I love to do it, and once I do it, I share it. And I'll be totally honest and say I feel very vulnerable and often uncomfortable sharing it, but it's so clear to me, like, if I'm going to write it, that's what it's for, so that those who will be inspired and fulfilled by it and nourished by it will find it.
Well, and the funny thing is that when I started reading the Cats in Reincarnation, the Transformative Encounters with Animals, I loved how you just had like these vignettes with, you know, like Jonah the dove and the, you know, the yellow jacket. And I had, you know, just, you know, sort of put the end of one's life of a yellow jacket this morning because I was getting ready to do the show and I didn't want it crawling around. And I said, all of a sudden I opened your page and it was to the yellow jacket who reminded you, you know, to stay in a certain vibration, and then when you weren't, you got stung. So talk about, and are there certain things about animals, like, that you could say, like, animals of the water kind of give you these lessons, animals of the air give you those, animals of the earth give you these. Are there certain things like that that you could say about animals, Lori?
There's a certain quality, and I've had so many learnings with different animals, but there's a certain quality based on if the animal is airborne or waterborne. But anything can come through any animal, just like anything can come through any person. That the story you mentioned about the yellow jacket is there were lots of yellow jackets and in this retreat home where we lived for a long time and held many events. And I just loved them. And they would crawl on my hands, and there was never a problem. And they would ohm. They truly, together, make this ohm sound constantly. It was so beautiful. But one day I was walking up the hill, and I was fretting and worried and tense and angry, and for the first time one stung me. And what I did was I matched the vibration, so I felt the sting going into my body. So with my body and my heart, I just surrendered back to the feeling of the sting. Instead of fighting it, I kind of melted into it. And so what would have been pain was able to turn into a kind of ecstasy that I felt upgrading my cells physically into another kind of joy. Now, I don't want anyone to misinterpret the story and say that I endorse people trying to put pain to themselves. I certainly don't. I don't look for pain. I prefer a life free of pain. But that came to me. And so in matching it, matching the vibration of that little being who is vibrating at such a beautiful rhythm and tone, I found myself not in a problematic place, but I saw the service that was the opportunity that was being given to me in that situation. And so any situation I've had with animals, whether it's felt very easygoing, kind, you know, something we would prefer, or like you said, tragedies can occur, sorrow, grief, something problematic like a sting, like a loss. If I really surrender into my heart and go into what my heart is experiencing, it's a very different map than what my mind thinks is happening based on all the worldly conditions I've been given, like everyone else. And then something very beautiful tends to happen, and what happens is completely unpredictable. It's in the moment, and it's different each time.
Yeah. So ironically, and you may hear it normally, this will not necessarily be a clean recording for today's show, because one of my girls, my dogs, is snoring in the background. I think she's full of puppies. And so, but how perfect that, you know, you're with me for this show today, and that's going to kind of go the way that goes. So I have them all around me. You know, they're my little healers, and they've been with me, helping me heal when I would do hypnotherapy groups and teach spiritual things. My little boy, who was kind of a patriarch, he would literally sit at my feet. He demanded to be in my healing room when I was working with people, and he demanded to be with me when I was doing groups. And when I would bring people back out of a meditation or visualization, he would go around to each one of them, and just on his own, he would touch them, lick them, bring them back into their bodies in this room as I was completing it every time.
I love it.
You know,
the animals are so on purpose. So any animal that you communicate with, you find that animal has a particular soul purpose. And it's not like us where we say, okay, I'll go through the catalog and decide which course to take or which certificate to get or which degree to get. They come in very crystal clear that they have an essential soul purpose. We come in with that clarity too, but something about our human way of using our intellect will often distort that or have us forgetting that. But every being actually comes in essentially kind of like a spark of something, a spark of joy or a spark of assistance or support or help or laughter or kindness. And the animals tend to be quite clear about what they're here to do and what their service is, and just share it quite easily, generously, with no embarrassment or hesitation.
Yeah, now, when you talk about that, Lauren, I love how you said about the brain and the heart and the different messages. When you think about that, or when you look at that, describe what that heart feeling, that heart sensation is for people who may not have experienced it in that way or at that deep level. What
yes.
that sort of heart purpose or heart vibration is like.
I'm remembering one time when the Hawks really invited me to go deeper into that heart vibration, and I'll share the story as a means of really transmitting it and helping people take themselves into that right now, because we can't go through our understanding of the mind into the heart. It's really a flavor that connects us to everyone and everything, and it's different than a heart's emotion. It's deeper. It's a shared beat among all life. So one time when many, many years ago, I had been working on these DVDs, and it was a huge undertaking because it was before all this internet stuff was happening. This was a while back. And so, you know, now we just, you know, we take this footage and we put it up. But back then it was people flying across to Hawaii and filming us all day and editing. It was a much bigger deal, and it had taken a number of years. And there was a problem with some producers who were involved had all my footage and were they were holding it hostage from me. It wasn't anything personal. There was just a lot of strange things were happening with those two people and everyone they were working for. A lot of their clients ended up comparing stories to try to help each other out. So I was very distraught. It disappointed me. It devastated me deeply. I wasn't as spacious as I am now. I didn't understand. I took it very personally. I thought that I was doing everything I could to give this beautiful gift to people, to the universe, and that I was being thwarted. And it felt like disillusionment to me. And I didn't know what to do. And it was late at night, and I just sat on a sofa crying. And suddenly I had an impulse to go outside. I went outside. I started walking, and a hawk was just sprawled. The body was sprawled in front of me. The soul had left. And it was one of these three hawk friends that I talk to regularly that were very close part of my life, and I didn't understand that yet either. And so I misinterpreted and thought all my negativity about the situation has killed this hawk. And immediately that hawk's soul and the other two hawk friends told me, stop, that's not what's happening. And what is happening is we just want you to be with us, and we'll give you more information in the morning. And all night long, it was like they were flying me. I mean, physically, I was incarnate in my body, on my bed, lying down, but I felt my heart just, they were taking my heart and flying me with them. My heart was expanding. I was feeling such unconditional love, like love beyond emotion, love beyond circumstance, just this deep reverence, this deep gratitude. And in the morning, they told me, now you're going to bury this one's body, and they showed me where. And when I finished burying the body, they said, now, why are you on Earth? Are you on Earth over some DVD footage, or are you on Earth about peace? And I just started laughing, and of course, my heart just jolted in. You know, that was the whole reason the whole footage was created. It was about peace. And they said, okay, go down, talk to the producers now. So I got in my car. I hadn't been able to contact them. They had made themselves unavailable. I drove to where they were. Their door was wide open, and he and I, one of them, walked into each other, and I just looked at him, and I realized my only job was to love him unconditionally, not to care about anything but that. And I looked at him. I needed nothing anymore. I didn't need the footage. I didn't need anything. I just looked at him with unconditional love, and he said, oh, just a minute. And he came, and he gave me all the footage back. And you know, I got calls from other people who were in the same kind of mess with him, who did not come out of it cleanly, who came out with a lot of trouble. But something in that universal love, in those hawks, in the whole just surrendering to it all, shifted the whole paradigm. And I mean, I got to experience and see it right in front of me. And it came from a love that needs nothing. And it can't be used like a formula, because we can't say, okay, now I'll go manipulate what I want by giving love, because that's the exact opposite of what I'm sharing. But our minds can't, we'll do things like that. But it just was pure, and I know you totally understand what I'm saying. It was pure, unconditional love. It needs nothing. It's full. All is well. We're all fine. There is no problem.
And everything comes out really well out of those deals as well. You just have to allow that space to be. And I think sometimes we're actually being trained to do that, and like the hawks trained you. So as you look out, Lori, or let's use my circumstances from last night and my animals dying and just feeling into that vibration. I think today we may have some callers who would like your mini readings, and so we may do that. I may do the runes with them, and then you do some kind of reading with them. But what do you see when I just shared with everybody today about my animal massacre?
Well, there's a lot going on, because there's a lot of you. You know, a lot of beings, including yourself, are involved in this. And first of all, the mountain lion is actually vibrating innocence. So just to let everyone know, there was no malice or hostility or anything like that intended. That's not where the lion was coming from. But in terms of...
And I totally get that.
You
totally
do get it. Yeah. For you, you know, there's going to be, of course, natural, healthy, emotional grief in the biological body cleansing you. That's a gift. Babies cry because it's designed to cleanse them. It's just transition. But there's a big opening coming. There's a very, very deep, beautiful transition. And you've gone through so many beautiful, deep transitions because you're so surrendered to your life path. And there's another one right here for you. And it can't even be worded. Only you're going to jump in. You already started. You're jumping into it. It's a very big expansion of your heart and a new kind of peace. Now, with each of your beloved animal friends, I would need the name one at a time so I can check in with each, because I'm getting a lot of communication from more than one being all at once, and I need to know who's who. So if you want to give me a name at a time, like name, gender, and species, and I will find that one specifically and understand what's going on with them on the other side.
Okay, so just to let you know that when I woke up this morning, I already had begun the transition that you're talking about. It's becoming a seed of light. And it was like we talked about when we started the show, it was where you and I both came in, and then I've kind of been distracted for a while, and it was literally implanting that back in my heart and almost imprinting that in some of the ways you just talked about your own experience. So very accurate, very true. So thank you for that. That great confirmation about my own personal journey. And weirdly, I did not hear a sound when my animals, met their death at this point. So the first one is my goat, and she was bright red. We called her Mama Red, and she was a character. She used to love to eat dog treats, big dog biscuits. Every time we come down and see her, we bring her a dog biscuit, and she'd get up on the fence, want the dog biscuit. And so she actually died trying to protect her little ones, not a scratch on her.
How old was she, by the way? Age?
I'm going to say probably 10.
Okay, thank you. She's a very, very joyful spirit, and she's already made complete peace, you know, with going over. She has so much laughter. She's a joyful, laughing being. She accepted this now. You know, she accepted it once it was obvious that was how it has to be. She's just on the other side in joy, and she's tying up some things. She's in communication with the ones she was trying to save, and she is then going to be going fully into her next experience in the light on the other side. But all is well in her world. She just accepted it's like meant to be. And she's not needing an explanation. She's very resolved with her understanding of the cycles of life coming and going in the biological plane. She loves you, and it has, you know, over there it's not like she doesn't feel like she's gone, because she is what she is. She just doesn't have a body now.
Interesting. And then she had two little ones who were kind of like an apricot color. And I didn't name them, but that they're also gone.
Yeah.
And they were adorable. They were like mini goats.
So there's something still going on where she's having to help them on the other side. There's something not yet complete about that that's completing. There was some trauma in their case, and she is able to help them fully. It's like they're being bathed in her understanding. She's still in mama role. And if you can tell me what their names one at a time, then I can get a careful understanding of each one.
You know, I didn't name them, Lori, interestingly enough. I just let them be. They were my Christmas Eve babies. Those two little ones were born on Christmas Eve.
Okay, so the first baby, can you just give me a distinguishing characteristic so I don't confuse
yep.
the two of them?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So one is was tiny. I'm going to say like 10 pounds, 12
okay.
pounds.
Okay. Yeah, I'm getting
apricot,
that one.
Home. And then the
I'm
yep,
getting that
the
one.
Other
I
one
get
was
it.
About
yeah.
15 pounds. Okay.
Okay. The smaller one, the smaller one is it's very pure. It's a very sweet light. That one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That one retained that. That one. That one is very pure and was like a child. It's like a childlike energy. And
yep.
But that one had other lifetimes, so now that one's like still in that childlike energy, but kind of merging back into the other ages too, and getting a lot of help from Mama. But very, very, very happy. It was just because of the biological age and the innocence, it was a little confusing as to what happened. But that one is mm-hmm. fine. That one's essence is so sweet. That one's more like, help me understand this. And it's starting, mm-hmm. like I said, to merge back with the other lifetimes. And in the other, there's been enough other lifetimes that there is going to be an overall understanding coming, probably just in the next few hours. It's all just still happening, definitely within a few days. But it's happening very fast. And so there's a great sweetness, that, and all is well in that sweetness. Yeah. Okay, the other one, the 15-pound one, okay, that one also had a sense of humor, and that one's more kind of not as ethereal as this smaller one. That one's a little bit more matter of
spicy.
Fact. Yeah, it's
spicy.
Like an earth energy. But
yeah.
That one's like, you know, come. What's the big deal? Okay, you know, I passed over. What's the big deal? You know, like, it's okay. That one's just kind of like matter of fact, everything's okay. You know, I would hardly even know that one's on the other side. There's such an earth kind of energy. Let me see if that one needs help. No, knows exactly what to do, is fine. I think there was a little trauma too, but that one doesn't really, you know, go to that place or be concerned too much about things, and is also getting help from Mama. So they're all in this energetic transition, and it's beautiful, and it's coming out very well, and it will be very fine.
Okay, then I had two Jacob sheep, which interestingly enough are biblical sheep, the black and white one.
Uh-huh.
And one was Spot, and it didn't have any horns, and the other one was a longhorn, and she had one horn.
Okay, so Spot was what gender?
They both were females.
Okay. Okay, and Spot, and about how old was Spot?
Let's say she was 8 or 9.
Okay. And which color was Spot?
They're both black and white, mostly white.
Okay.
And then they have these black spots on them.
Okay, they're a little intertwined right now, so let me find Spot just a minute. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Spot's fine. All's well. Nothing too kind of just going on as, you know, eternalness continues. The soul is. There's no pieces here. There's just nothing really different happening. Spot is just, we're all alive, whatever side we're on. So let me say Spot is just alive and fine. That's it, really, with Spot.
Good deal. So when this kind of stuff happens like this, Lori, can you see why the mountain lion needed to do that? Was it for food? Was it for teaching the little ones? Can you see what the purpose of this whole
thing? Okay, let me find the lion just a minute. Well, I feel both were involved. You know, some food was needed, but certainly all that wasn't needed, so teaching was involved. But for the lion, it was also a call. It felt like what was needed to happen, and that is beyond my capacity to fully comment on, because I'm respecting a reality that has an awareness connected to a bigger picture than what we humans sometimes have. It's like sometimes many times I've been asked to do something that people on the outside, it would seem as though I'm doing something that made no sense, or it would even be like the purest thing I could do, and I know people aren't going to receive it that way. And other times I know I can do something that everyone will say, oh, what a good thing, and I'm not supposed to do it. I'm supposed to do a different good thing that others won't understand. It's like that. The lion has a relationship with Creator, and the lion understands her role in the universe, and the lion doesn't really question it. She just goes with what she needed to do, and it did serve a number of purposes. Physical, the two ones you mentioned, but it served on a spiritual purpose too. And it, you know, there is like what I really think is an opportunity for us at this time on Earth is to not ask why, but just to look at what is happening and what the goodness of it is. I think our why question is a little bit misinformed as to, it doesn't put us into the realms that bring us peace. It kind of resists and keeps us out. It's a natural mental inclination to want to know why, but I find that looking into that takes us out of the opportunity that's bringing us into a deeper peace. And the deeper peace has room for birth and death and all kinds of preferred experiences. And that's the deal on the earth plane of polarities. That's how it works.
Sorry,
it works in polarity and non and non-preferred. But if we dive into the middle of that, we start to find peace and fullness in all of it, and we start to lose this illusion that our peace and happiness is going to come from what occurs or what doesn't. I don't in any way mean to slight anyone's emotional feelings. I'm a very emotional person, and when people or animals I love die, I'm tremendously torn and hurt and pain, but through the depth of that pain, I find right through the fabric when I surrender to it, there's a very deep peace and love and understanding of the fullness of it all.
So when you, I love that. And so when you talk about that, and I think that's the place, talk about multidimensional, I think that's where that multidimensional piece comes in. And so talk a little bit about that, Lori, so people actually can get a sense of that, because you're really clear and what that means for you, what that feels like. If someone listening was wanting to connect more deeply with that, how would they go about that? What would they experience? What would they feel?
I invite everyone who's listening to notice right now, when you do focus on your own heart, what is there? Is there a picture? Is there a sensation? Is it a physical or emotional sensation? Or is it an inspired, unconditional sensation? Or is there a word or a memory or a sound or a light? There's no right or wrong. We're all constructed uniquely. We're each a unique microphone of the overall divine expression. And so without trying to be anything, if you go right to your heart and note, what are you experiencing? And just give your full self to it. In other words, rest into it. Make it not right or wrong, but sit into the sensation, the fabric of whatever you find. And as you rest and breathe into that, find out where that takes you next. And some of you start to already feel this, clear, open, spaciousness. And some of you find, there's like an uncomfortable feeling here. And see if you can just merge into that uncomfortable feeling, or some of you say, no, I see a visual image. See if you can notice within that visual image there is a feeling. And just you start to rest into it. You merge into it. You kind of just make it your home for a moment. And there, somebody on the line kind of felt it's almost like a bump or something uncomfortable. And just rest into that. Go with that. You keep going. I'm just leading everyone in a meditation, taking into account the different vibrations I'm feeling from different places, listening, and just keep breathing, everyone, and whatever you're experiencing is fine and well, and sometimes there's a chaos or confusion, but just relax, rest into that, and find out where that takes you next, and we keep going with that, we keep going. If someone wants to call in, and I can actually work with one of the people one-on-one, that would be great, but we just keep going and going with what is, and it will take us into a vastness that is so vast it can hold any emotion or thought as the fleeting weather, and yet the basis felt is a very deep peace that is not equated with circumstance. It just is.
I absolutely love that, Lillian. I can actually feel that. I can feel a reworking, a reweaving of golden light in my heart, and I love that. So I am going to bring someone on. I know someone would love to have a reading, and I spoke with her today, and she was asking for that. So you're going to be the blessing of that gift today for her. Her name is Deanna. And so we'll let her work with this with you, and I'm bringing her live right now. So let me see. Deanna, are you with us?
Yes. Thank you so much.
Hi, Deanna.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Hi, Lori.
Hi.
I have enjoyed everything you've spoken about. I have what you just said, I don't know what's in my heart. There's so much fear right now that I can't tell what's in my heart. But it's because of the circumstances I am in. And I also have a rabbit. And she's doing poorly.
What's your rabbit's name?
Alice.
And how old is Alice?
About 2.5.
Okay. Okay, so you mean she's doing poorly physically, right?
Yes. She's still alive. And 2 months ago, that would not have been the case. But I never knew we could base rabbits, but I've learned since that we can. She's had 4 baths lately in order for her not to suffer from fleas. I have no idea how they came, but after over 2 years, they came. So I've been bathing her, and she eats very healthy. Everything is greens and oranges and bananas and nuts and, you know, Everything is healthy, but she's having intestinal troubles.
What kind of troubles?
Intestinal.
Oh, okay. So when we're having physical troubles, what I look to see, is it mostly physical-based, emotional-based, spiritual-based, or person-based? Person-based means something for you to shift, and then she shifts. So, yeah, first of all, she does have physical problems, and so with physical problems, they really need to be addressed physically, which could mean homeopathy or supplements, and that would be the job of a really good holistic vet. And if you also just want to poke around online and get some more information about the physical body, I would recommend thepetwhisper.com.
Okay.
Let me ask her, but that really needs to be addressed physically. The body is really, it's not feeling good at all because of that. And in that regard, that aspect. So that definitely requires physical help. I'm going to find out if there's other issues, if there's something emotional. She's fine. She's actually quite a peaceful, happy being. There's not a spiritual lesson that she needs to learn, no. Emotionally, she's really clear. There's nothing. So I would recommend, in addition to you getting physical assistance, holistic physical assistance for her, let's help you with your emotions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So can you just let yourself go into that place? It's kind of like your esophagus. It's from your throat heading down towards your heart right now. And just send gratitude to that area of your body and tell me what you experience.
I cannot come out with words, but I do send gratitude. I rarely send gratitude to me, Lori. You're right, you know. I do send it out to others.
Send gratitude to the possibility that everything could suddenly turn around for you and all is well. And utilize that region of your body that I mentioned, and actually give thanks as though everything is well, despite any evidence that you have. Give thanks as though everything is turned around and everything is well. What are you feeling in this moment now?
A little happier.
Yeah, there you go. You're getting it. We're gonna let everything you don't need release by filling you up with something else that you're completely capable of creating. You just needed a reminder. So keep going with that. Keep sending gratitude, and now go to any area of your body that you feel inclined, whether that's holding fear or actually holding trust. Just go wherever in your body you feel inclined to send gratitude, reminding that part of you that as of now, all is well. We're recreating the vibration.
You know, it's funny because where my mouth is and right above it onto the nose and the cheeks, it felt like it filled up, like in a smile, you know, when you're about to be happy. And that's the first thing that I felt.
Good.
Which
was
a blessing.
Good. Let it keep going. It wants to travel all throughout you. And as we travel through our body, it goes into our light body and it starts to go into our circumstances. So just keep going with that in this moment now. There you go. Keep going. Yeah, just let it keep going into every place inside you it wishes to go.
I need strength in my legs.
Yeah. And if a fear comes up anywhere, feel it, let it be, and then take your focus back to the gratitude you're giving to that place where the fear emerges.
Thank you so much. Suzanne, I want to tell you, I really feel for the animals. I love animals so much, and I take hundreds of pictures of animals. And I'm glad that you have your animals.
Well, thank you. And thanks for calling in today, Deanna. And just kind of stay with the energy that
that Lori set in motion with you. So we're going to go and kind of go back into the show. So when you are working with people, Lori, how is it different when you work with people or with animals? Or do you work with just one or the other? Like you were talking with Deanna about her rabbit and then about herself. Where do you start and what do you do with that kind of thing?
Well, when I'm working with animals or people, first of all, what I'm looking at immediately is their soul intention, because we get really divided up inside ourselves by the way society has created psychological maps and other medical maps that make us think we're our issues or we're our symptoms, when those are just like measurements. And so I'm looking at what a person really is, and each person has a beautiful intention. All they really want is to fill it, and they're completely capable of fulfilling it by vibrating it. And so I'm looking at that, and then I'm seeing, is there anything in the way of that that just needs attention? Because when we give love and attention, what's in the way starts to naturally release, and we fall back into what is. And the animals already know this. So often people come to me with their animals, but really the animals are just trying to get a message to the humans. And often when the humans get it, the animals' problems clear up. But I am a firm believer in getting physical help when we're working with the physical body. And, you know, there are vets who study Western and Eastern, and just like I've spent decades developing what I do, who developed what they do specifically for the physical body. So just like we owe it to ourselves to get whatever help works for us, whether it's the naturopath or acupuncturist or whoever, we should offer that to the animals too, because when they have a physical challenge, that they deserve that.
Exactly. And, you know, it's really funny. You know, I love how clear you are, Gloria. I have to say it's great how clear you are. And I went and I took all my girls. I have long hair, little dogs, all to the groomers the other day. And once a year they get shaven and shorn. And so my littlest one, she's only 7 pounds, and she came back and she was twisted in her body, like they had, it seemed like it had been rough on her. And so, you know, first I had to work her through her shock, and then I had to help her little body readjust, right? And so now her little body is totally readjusted. She's sleeping in my lap. And all's well in the world. So sometimes I think, like what you just said, we, you know, have to go through, and we have to, we start, right? And so sometimes it's with the animals, and sometimes it's with ourselves, and we put things back together in the way they need to be put back together.
Yeah. And we can see sometimes when we shift vibration and intention, physical results follow. And so it's just great to approach it from all sides, like you were indicating. That's awesome.
That's right. So now talk about your 10 books, Lori. So let's start at the beginning, because I want people to know that there's ways that they can find you and understand what you're talking about. And the other thing I want to say is Lori's books are very readable. In other words, they're not, you know, like she talks, you know, very down earth. Well, her books are written very down earth too. So if you like the vibration of this interview, you'll also like the vibration of her books. But let's start at the beginning with your books, Lori. Book number one, and kind of what, give us the title, why you wrote that book, what's in it, and then walk us through all 10 of them.
Oh, thank you. That will be fun, a journey into my past all the way up to the present. Creative Intimacy was my first book. This was prior to my cat's reincarnation, and I was simply writing about human relationships. Interestingly enough, the same message comes through all the books. The real message is love, and the Creative Intimacy book helps people who are having challenges in any kind of relationship. It could be a partner or family or, at work, but it helps you to take whatever is being triggered inside you and turn it into just its essential button that's being pushed, and then turn it around and transform it. So if you found yourself experiencing the same chronic problem with another person 15 times, you use this book and all of a sudden you're in joy or you're in peace. You're basically turning whatever is being triggered into its opposite. And it makes it very possible. It makes it fun and playful. It's how I work with people. It's how I do my own life. So it's all very real, tangible, able to do exercises and explanations. And then the next book I wrote, I believe Cat's Reincarnation came next. after Jesse reincarnated, I wanted to share the story, and I had prayed to animals to be my guides, and so many different animals came to our house, like I had said, from hawks to ravens to deer to salamanders, and it's experiences, beautiful, transformative experiences I had with these animals. Let's see.
I want to put a plug in for that book. So as we talked about earlier, I was talking with y'all and sharing what I read and about the Yellow Jacket and such and the Dove Book of Lories. I really like because you can be immersed in the animal world and look at the world and the experiences through the perspective of the animal's eyes. And so she does a really good job in that book helping you understand what's going on from the animal's perspective. So if you like the content from the show today but don't really know how to get into that yourself to, like, dig into this vibration, The Cat's Reincarnation, Transformative Encounters with Animals is really a good book. Sorry, go ahead, Lori.
Thank you. All of them are on Amazon, by the way, and the easiest way to find them is just go to Google and type in Dr. Lori Moore Amazon bibliography, and they'll all come up. That's the easiest way to find them all at once. So let's see. Actually, prior to The Cat's Reincarnation, I now remember I wrote Intelligent Love, Choosing a Life Mate Wisely. And I wrote that because this idea of falling in love that we all know so well has got a little warped. And so people wanting to find their soulmate weren't always staying really conscious and looking at what's a good match for me? Because we want to fall in love, but we also want to create compatibility and identify, are we with someone because we're going to work out a karmic problem or because we're going to be really wonderful partners for each other. So the book goes through all the chakras and helps you in the dating phases to identify if you're compatible with somebody that you're feeling you're falling in love with. So you can
what a great idea.
Yeah, I want to thank David Steele and Marv Cohen because years ago I used to work with them at the Relationship Coaching Institute, and I think I was very inspired by their work, and then just what I learned took it into a deep kind of the realm I live in with the chakras and the energy and everything. So that's Intelligent Love, Choosing a Life Mate Wisely. I wrote it many, many years ago, and I met Ray, my a soulmate who I've been with ever since, so it worked. So it's
good
I used it. I used it well. Okay. Jesse wrote a book. Jesse the cat, my beautiful, beloved, reincarnated cat, who's still with me today. He's awesome. He has been my greatest teacher, and he wrote a book called 111 Messages to Humanity. He literally sat on the desk and dictated it to me. And it's people tell me they just flip through it on any day and will read one message, and that will just inspire them throughout their day. So it's his wisdom. I am losing track of the order of things, but Animal Communication Course came in there sometime. And that's to help you learn to talk to the animals. It really teaches you how to go into the place in your heart that we've been talking about where you begin to telepathically recognize the communications, the visions, the words, the feelings, the sensations, the intentions that animals are communicating to you, and it helps you to start to remove some of the assumptions that or projections that we would initially place into that. And it's also full of some beautiful vignettes and personal experiences. And in that book, I mentioned many, many different animal communicators and books too. So in addition to teaching you, I give you an overview of many others you can learn from because there's so many of us that each have our own unique gift to offer. And I wrote another one like that for families. So the one for families and children and teens. The whole family can learn together. There's a part of it that's just for youngsters, very young children, and there's a part of it that's for older kids. So the family can learn animal communication together. That one's called Animal.
What a great thing to do with a family. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Can you on that one, Maury?
Animal Communication for Children, Teens, and Adults. I wrote a book called The Light and Sound and Love, and I loved writing that. This is a novella and a bunch of short stories and poetry. It's just a big love story of the universe's falling in love with the universe. and it's fun, and it has all these different kind of quirky but very inspiring, touching characters who go through the pains and pleasures of life and come out more and more awakened. That is fiction and poetry. It's called The Light and Sound and Love. And I wrote Healing and Awakening the Heart, Animal Wisdom for Humans. And this is for anyone who's gone through disillusion or disappointment. And it takes you through very wonderful practices to help you go through that grief and come out the other side. Because I've had people who have come here and said, I've been grieving about something for 20 years. It never stops. And after one meeting, they're in a completely different place of peace. And I thought, well, how can I make this accessible to lots and lots of people? And I turned it into a book that anyone can use, anyone who's heartbroken, betrayed, disillusioned. It will take you back to deep self-love, universal love, and peace as you use the practices and read the inspiration in it. And then the last one actually had some delays, and it's coming out in a few days. It keeps being delayed, but it's called Home in the Heart of Gangaji, and it is a beautiful story about how my work and my universal love experience expanded even more when I met a mentor and friend of mine, Gangaji, about 10 years ago, and just the beautiful experience of that relationship and what came out of it and the people that benefited who met me from my benefiting from her.
Well, she's an amazing, amazing, amazing woman. And someone who I actually spent some time with about 30 years ago. So I love hearing the stories of things moving along like that. So we don't have too much time left, Lori, but tell everybody about your website, how they can find you, free offers, upcoming events, so that if they're interested in what they've heard today and felt inspired, that they could connect with you.
Yes, AnnaMiracles.com. It's AnniMiracles.com. You can go there to sign up for sessions. Once you press any button and get into the website, there's all kinds of things going on in there. There's seminars, there's products, there's newsletters. There, as you mentioned, I am offering to the first 10 people who email me a free 15-minute reading, which I will schedule with you, and you can just email me. Go to my website. You'll find my email on there, so AnnaMiracles.com. And my phone number, if you need to book a session with me and talk to me personally, is 831-477-7007. That's 831-477-7007. Just to make it even easier, let me just give you an email, everyone. So whatever you need me for, you can email me and let me know. It's Lori, that's L-A-U-R-I-E, at D-R as in Dr. Lori Moore. That's MOORE.com. That's Lori at DrLoriMoore.com.
Very good. And is there a parting thought that you have for everybody today, Lori?
I just want to send everyone out with such gratitude for who you are. And I invite you throughout your day, and it's so interesting, just as I said this, I looked out and a new beautiful red poppy grew. Just there's all these orange ones and this one pink red one, and I feel it's for everyone out there. I invite you, if anything is bothering you today, the second it bothers you, to just stop and send gratitude to yourself. We often are sending gratitude out to everyone and everything. Please send gratitude to yourself today. Even send gratitude to the problem as an experiment, a life experiment, and see what happens. I predict something wonderful will happen inside you, as did happen with the really awesome woman I got to talk to earlier on the phone, on the show today.
Well, Lori, thanks for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I love how inspirational you are and how clear you are and what a vibration of love and light you truly do hold. So it's been an honor and a gift to have you on the show, and our listeners will have totally enjoyed having you with me today. And like I say, I'll put Lori's website up on the Living Well Talk Radio Network's Facebook page. So thanks again, Lori, for joining me.
It has been marvelous. Thank you. You are a kindred spirit. I'm delighted by all your gifts and your sharing, and it was wonderful to be on the show with your people. Thank you so much.
Thanks. And so what we're going to do now is I'm going to play a little piece of music that kind of aligns with all of this that we're talking about. And then when we come back, I'm going to go and have my next guest, and she's going to take that more, as Lori would say, physical approach to this. And she's going to be going and helping us understand how to quit smoking. She's a former registered nurse. Now, this piece of music everybody's going to love. It's called Earth Angels, and it's from Marco Misonato. So stay with us. It's about 6 minutes, but we'll be back sooner than that. So stay with us.
I have come.
back to Living Life on Purpose on the Living Well Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Suzanne Steinschauer, and I hope that you have enjoyed that first segment and that song by Marco Misonato. And I'm thrilled to have you all joining me on air today. And my next guest is coming to me from Minnesota, and it's, I think, sunny back that way now. And her name is Carol Savoy, and she's a licensed practical nurse who smoked for 35 years before she discovered a simple five-step process to quit smoking. Inspired by the loss of her husband and numerous other family members and friends, she has dedicated her life to helping others to quit smoking so that they can live heart-filled and health-filled lives. She's written a book called The Last Cigarette to help people quit smoking, and that book is an award-winning book. So I'm thrilled to have her on the show today. So welcome to the show today, Carol.
Thank you, and thanks for having me.
So I started reading your book, and it's amazing, Carol. I love how down-to-earth it is and how practical it is and how, I want to say, heartwarming it is in one way, because you actually kind of walk people through the thought process that people don't really understand. So before we jump into that part of it, will you talk about, and I know you mentioned it in the first part of your book, The Last Cigarette, but for listeners, will you talk about, you know, what made you start smoking and kind of where you are with that whole process and how long you've been a non-smoker now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I started smoking, I'd say, when I was 16. I had a friend in high school that made fun of me that I couldn't inhale. Well, I inhaled, and then I was hooked. And since then, you know, I smoked then for 35 years, and I was hooked. I tried quitting many, many times, never successful. And now, this May, it'll be 11 years that I quit smoking, and thank goodness I quit, because I don't miss it at all. It's just, was, you know, the odor you have on your clothes and how you smell, and just, I don't know, just that you have to have this cigarette, you know, this is what I like, because I don't have to, the cigarettes aren't ruling my life anymore. It's just like that advertisement with the monkey. I don't know if you've seen that on TV. It used to be on there with the monkey on your shoulder. That's exactly the way I felt. And I said,
wow.
I'd give anything if I didn't have that monkey on my shoulder. Mm-hmm. So, and I know for some people it's easy to quit. But for me, I had to, it was a struggle, but I did it. So I'm very proud of myself.
Yeah, and congratulations. And I know that your book has touched a lot of nerves in people that I know. And when I mentioned that I was going to be interviewing a nurse who had written a book on quitting smoking, they were all really happy, because everybody has those stories of, you know, a tragedy of somebody that they've lost and, you know, how that didn't work out so well. So talk about you mentioned your personal why in your book, but you can't be just told, because I live with a smoker who'd smoked for 50 years, and just because it's, like, not healthy, that's not enough of an incentive for people to quit smoking. How do people, you know, find what does make them quit? What is their own personal why? And yours was touching, it being about your grandkids, but how do people tap into that?
Right. It was my, it's in my book. My oldest son cried one Christmas, and my oldest son is very strong. And when I get emotional when I even think of and seeing him that night, you know, he said, Mom, he said, would you please quit smoking? And it just hit me, you know, just really. And then my other children and my grandchildren, they're all, you know, and nagging, no, doesn't get you to quit smoking, no. But it's the thought that they really loved me that much, that they wanted me around, you know, that really touched me. And, God, it just, like, you know, I had to do something, you know. But like I said, I've tried and tried and tried. And I had a guy I used to work with, he had tried 7 or 8 times, and he said, don't give up. He said, just keep trying. And that was in the back of my mind. I had a lot of people that had quit and encouraged me too along the way, and, you know, and I looked at them and I thought, if they can do it, I can do it. And that was my motto too, is that I saw these people, had friends, and, you know, talked to them a lot, and it's in my book. And I don't know, I just, they inspired me, and I thought, you know what, I can do it if they could do it. So I don't know.
That's right. Well, the thing I love about your book is that you've written it in such an easy to read format. And so are Lori's books, my first guest. You guys wrote really easy to read books. And like you said in your book, you didn't have to make it really long for people to understand it. It could be, you know, something that's only 100 and something pages and get the point across of why and how to quit. So,
and most addicts, like me, didn't. They don't want to read a long book. That's the way I looked at it, too, you know. They want right down to the point. If I was going to quit smoking, I'd buy a small book, you know. I wouldn't, you know, have to read a long, wouldn't have the, you know, energy to read a long book or, you know, patience.
Well, that's right. So in that you managed to have your the help of your family, once you started that process, was it really was it hard to kind of keep going, Carol? I mean, how long did it take before you were at the other side and you said, you know what, I am a non-smoker now? How long did that process actually take you?
Oh, boy, until I really felt like I was a new person again. I would say a good year. I mean, but the cravings went away probably before that. But I would say before I really realized and felt good, because everybody said, oh, don't you feel good? And I said, no. When you smoke, cigarettes for a while, they'll, you know, get you going, give you energy, but then they just die down, you know. And no, I didn't feel good. I wanted a cigarette. No. And so then, but then after I think that year, I just like, everybody's different though, but I think then I felt good and, you know, I felt like, man, I think I made it, you know. I wanted to stress too is that in the mornings I thought, you know, I thought after I ate would be the worst time. I don't know, you never smoke, but anybody that was a smoker and listening to this, I thought after I ate that would be the worst time of the day that I would miss a cigarette, but no, it wasn't. It was in the morning when I got up. It was weird, yeah.
Now, did you have certain routines in the morning that that cigarettes were a big part of, and that's why it was kind of hard.
Yes, they were. They were my reward. You know, like some people might have candy or whatever. I don't know what, but they've been. You know, like I don't know, mow my lawn and have a cigarette. You know, and I don't know. They rewarded me. So what did I do then? Well, it's in my book what I did. I found ways to, you know, I couldn't eat candy. You know, and so I did find ways to find different. You have to find different rewards. You know.
Right. And I think that's part of, you know, being crazy. One of the things you talk about in your book is the three most important reasons for you to quit smoking and stay smoke-free. So you actually do give people ways to sort of process this for yourself. It kind of reminds me in a really fun way of, like, you know, there's the, you know, all the different 12-step programs. Well, you've kind of wrapped that up in your book where you give people the tools there, and it doesn't take 12 steps. You've done it in 5.
Right, right.
Which is a great thing. So what are some of the surprises that you discovered as part of your own process of quitting smoking?
I guess all the people on the way, it was like a journey for me, and I've got that in my book. I would go, like Walmart where I bought my cigarettes. It was just that day, and they said, next time you come and buy cigarettes, you're going to have to go on the next aisle, you know, to buy them, because this is going to be closed. And I said, I'm not going to be here buying them anymore. And they said, good. Then they told me a story about how their parents quit, and I heard all these along the way, you know. And then I went to the health food store, and they had another story there, how her sister died of lung cancer, and she gave me some tips how she quit smoking, and it just was a journey. Yeah.
Now, did you find any things in common, Carol? Did you find anything in common from all those people who had their own quit smoking stories that were different from yours and what ultimately worked for you?
Yes. Some of them, yeah. Well, this my one friend of mine, she used a pacifier. You know, I mean, it gets to that extreme sometimes, you know, and I didn't need a pacifier, you know, but, you know, you do anything you can to quit smoking, you know. I guess it's a drug. People don't realize how, you know, addicted you can. It's a very addictive, you know, for some people, I think, maybe more. I know that some people, they can just say, oh, I threw them out the window and that was the end of it. Well, not for me. And I think there's more people out there that it's harder, you know, and I, you know. But then also, as in my book, my daughter coached me. She approached me and said, I will coach you because she's a coach. And so that helped me, you know, because I needed somebody to talk to, you know, or to guide me.
That's right.
And she did it.
And Ursula
yes,
is a great coach.
Mm-hmm.
And
she, right.
I hear, I'm reading the paragraph. It's funny that you'd mentioned that right as I was there. Ursula encouraged me to keep a journal every day. And even though I didn't want to and complained about it every day, I did it. And I'm so glad I did. This journal was like a safe and quiet place for me to go and moan
yes.
about how tired or frustrated or cranky I was. And it ended up being a place where I went to celebrate my successes, the moment when I would be tempted to smoke and didn't pick up the cigarettes, the monthly and eventually annual celebrations of my freedom from smoking and the days when I could report feeling really, really good. And that's from her book, The Last Cigarette, and sort of a sense of Carol's writing, which I just love. And I also know her daughter, who's a wonderful human being and coach. So in let's just shift gears a minute now, Carol, and let's talk about the process of you as a writer. Did you, in your wildest dreams, ever imagine that you were going to write a book?
No. No. Everybody says, oh, I'd like to write a book. And, of course, I said that, too. Well, did I ever think I was going to? No. No. My daughter encouraged me,
What made you get started?
She encouraged me because she made me take all those notes, remember, back, you know. And it was very difficult because computer and me don't get along. And I asked a lot of help for a lot of people. And it came past, and I still can't believe it that, you know, I actually wrote a book. But, you know, I don't know. It happened, so.
Not only a book, but an award-winning book besides that.
Yes. So, I can't believe that either. So, yeah, unbelievable.
Well, because people need, you know, they need inspiration and such. Now, let's talk the not-so-happy part of this journey, and that was that as you were quitting, your husband wasn't. And what was that like to live with a smoker when you are in the process of becoming a non-smoker?
Okay, see, Roger and I had quit smoking together maybe two or three times, and he already was having a cigarette on the side, and I didn't know it. And he blamed himself for me starting smoking because he knew that I really wanted a cigarette and he had one for me, and so that didn't work. So this time he stayed away from me, and he's, you know, there are some people that just can't quit, and he's one of them, I would say. But anyway, he stayed away from me. He made it as easy as he could. I mean, he didn't smoke around me. He wanted me to succeed. That's why I was successful also, because he didn't go and smoke a cigarette right in front of me, you know, for especially the first month or so. He stayed away, you know, because we smoked outside anyway since we had grandchildren when I smoked. We didn't smoke in my house because, you know, no one wants to be, you know, because secondhand smoke is worse than regular smoke. So we didn't want to injure our grandchildren, you know, because it's his step-grandchildren. But so he did all he could to help me. So I have to say that. But, no, it was impossible for him to quit. He tried. But this time he didn't say, I got a cigarette for you. He didn't. He stayed away from me. And, in fact, one day he did say, I said, I'd sure like a cigarette. And he said, I think it's in the book. I don't remember. He said something like, this is the dumbest thing that you could do. You know, so then I just, you know, I thought, well, if he thinks it is, then I better not. So, yeah.
Well, and so, you know, so that actually turned out to be a great support system. And, you know, as a child, I dabbled around with cigarettes. And then when everybody started to smoke is when I quit. So I started smoking way before anybody else. But I have to tell you, you know, I'm in my 50s, and that was, you know, close to 50 years ago. And if it wasn't bad for you, I'd be still smoking today. I mean, there's just something about that there's, you know, it's kind of a cool sensation, a cool, you know, but it's not good for you. So it's like, okay, never mind. You know, it's not the same as eating. It's just a very different, you know, set of sensations. And I know that I've watched my partner who smoked for 50 years and quit. And when he quit, he wound up having to go into the hospital with a major lung issue, And then when he came out, he was in intensive care. When he came out, I said to him while he was still in the hospital, I said, you need to understand something. This was an accident that happened to you, but I'm not going to go in here, come back to this hospital in intensive care for any stupidity. So you need to know that you're going to either come out as a non-smoker or you're going back to Kentucky. And he came out as a non-smoker. He never did pick up a cigarette again after that. You know, people can quit, but unless it was some, you know, life-threatening, not life-threatening, but life-disabling disease, he wasn't going to stop either. You know, he was going to be like your husband.
Right. And, you know, then when it gets to that point, when you are that bad, you don't want to quit, you know, when you're feeling so rotten anyway. Right. But good that your husband quit.
Yeah. So in, let's just, if people who are listening, Carol, one of the things I like to do on the radio show is at least give them the first step to start. So, you know, people who've contemplated quitting 15 times, they've tried hypnotherapy, they've tried this, they've tried that. What was your first step that worked for you that you can recommend to other people?
Well, in my book of my five steps, like I said, it was my children encouraging me and really making me feel rotten that I should quit because they want me as long as I can be here with them, and that love. And I just got sick of it. I just got sick of the buying them at price now. It's going to go here in Minnesota. It's going to go up to $10 a pack. Well, imagine that. If I still smoked, that'd be $600 a month.
Oh, my God.
That's like renting an apartment. And I was able to save money. That's another thing that a lot of people quit because they could save money. Yeah, I built an addition on my house with that money. I was just, you know, killing myself. And what else did I do? I don't know. I just saved money. You know, I had money in my pocket.
So it was a real pro-life experience for you to quit, just for your health, but also what you could do. Now, what was sort of the process of things? This is a nurse, you were certainly well aware of the physiology.
Oh, yeah, right.
Like the fuck you went through in your body. What happened first to you, Carol? Did you have cravings or, you know, because I've never had to quit, so I have no idea. But what happens with people when they to quit? That's your
Oh, you definitely have a craving to have a cigarette. I mean, in my book I wrote, if this was probably the second week, and I said, if somebody came past here, well, I was talking to my daughter, she's coaching me that day, and I said, if somebody came around here, and I'd pay $100 for a cigarette. And she said, really? Well, that don't make me feel so bad. She said, if you said $1,000, then I'd probably be worried. But, yeah, it's something you do with your hand all those years, 35 years. I mean, you're just so used to, you know, and then you don't want to be stuffing food in your mouth either. I was on an exercise program for a whole year. You know, I walked and that helped, and I should have kept doing it. Now I need to go back to walking again, but I did, because that helped me. And the exercises, because then you get that out of your system too, that, you know, you forget about it, you know, having a cigarette too. It's so much in your mind also besides an addiction, you know.
Yeah, and so many of those sort of mechanical habits of, you know, lighting a cigarette, putting it in an ashtray, taking it to your mouth, and just all routines and rituals that you have around that, that's all kind of hardwired in there. Are you one of the people who wound up with, out of this experience, COPD, or did you get lucky and you didn't wind up with compromised lungs for your smoking?
Thank goodness, not yet. No, nothing so far. So, but I never know. I could get lung cancer yet. Or I could get, you know, like PD. I could get anything yet. But luckily, not yet so far. But you know what? If I did, I'd say at least I gave it a darn good stab because of quitting and, you know, being healthy. Because that's an excuse too smokers use is, oh, I'm probably going to, you know, if I die, I die. I don't care, you know, I'm going to go happy or something. They find any excuse like, oh, it's probably too late or this and that. But it's never too late. I know people in their 80s that quit smoking, you know, and so.
Wow. So now, are you on a crusade, Carol, to get people to quit smoking, or are you just kind of honoring and you just kind of figure your book will be, you know, if people want to, they will, and they have a book, The Last Cigarette, to teach them through. But after that,
right.
you just kind of let people do what they're going to do?
That's right. And they have to make up their mind. They have to want it. I wanted it. I was just done with it. You know, well, in my book, too, my husband passes from, you know, he has esophageal cancer. And the last days, he couldn't even light a cigarette. It's in my book. And he still had to have that cigarette smoking they are.
Yeah. But you're definitely someone who's really rabid when it comes to kids smoking and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the names that you have of your chapters. Like step three is light up your support team. So you actually, and the graphics in your book are beautiful. So that the way you've set this up is really kind of goes along with, you know, what exactly people are supposed to do here with, you know, with what's happening. So in the journey now, are you talking to various, you know, stations and helping? Because I can imagine you'd be a great inspiration for people.
Not
to
yet.
Be sharing your story.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I want to, yes. I'm willing to, yes. And the whole thing isn't have, but we haven't gotten that far yet. But my book isn't out yet, but it should be pretty soon. So then we'll go from there. But yeah, I would like to, you know, talk to people. And, you know, I think that's what we need to, you know, we need somebody to talk to when we're, you know, quitting. I know my friends, like when my husband was going by ambulance to the hospital, I called my friend. She said, Carol, don't have a cigarette. And I said, I won't. I'm not going. I don't plan on it, you know, because she was a smoker and she knows. And yeah. And so, but I wasn't even thinking of it, but yeah, but you need, I don't know. It's just, and that's how some people do go back to smoking again. Is like when you, a death or something, and no, you don't want to do that. You know, you don't.
Yeah. Yeah. And here, you know, I love your daughter. And so she's so cute. She says, and so this, I'm going to read another, you know, couple of paragraphs out of The Last Cigarette by Carol Savoy, because I think the other thing that it shows is how you can really enroll your family and how you can be creative. So here's a paragraph or two from Carol's daughter, Ursula Menchez, who I know is a great life coach. Mom, what if I helped you? I mean, coached you. Through the process of quitting, I learned some really amazing techniques at the neurolinguistic programming training. I think I could help you move through this more quickly. Ursie, thank you, but I don't want to take up too much of your time or stress you out. You should be out building your business. I hated to impose on my daughter. Well, how much do you spend on cigarettes every month, she asked. Oh, let me see. I counted the packs per week times 4 weeks per month and multiplied that by the price per pack in my head, probably 150 or more. Why? Well, you could pay me that much to coach you, then you wouldn't feel like you were imposing and you wouldn't have that money hanging around to be spent on cigarettes. What do you think? But I think that's fantastic, Carol, how you, you know, how you just, you know, in such real time talked about your journey and the process of quitting smoking. So I want to thank you for being on the show with me today.
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
I just want, my wishes with my book is that if one person quit smoking, it would make me happy. That's all I want. I mean, I just want somebody to be able to quit. That's my hope.
Well, and I think that it's going to actually reach thousands of people and that there's so many people who need to hear your message, and including a person who's been on the radio and got a reading last hour. She's a smoker and wants to quit. So I'm really appreciative of all the information that you've given everybody. And if you're interested in finding Carol's book, Carol Savoy's book, The Last Cigarette, you can go to Amazon. It's on Amazon and Kindle, and it's available for purchase. So I hope you've enjoyed the show today, and we will be back again next week with some other interesting people. And so have a great day, and remember to be inspired for life.
I hope you've enjoyed the show today. Enjoy all of the quality programs and archives we offer on the Living Well Talk Radio Network. I look forward to having you back with me again next week. And in the meantime, remember, be inspired for life.